Okay, just for the purpose of the webcast, it's Wednesday the 15th of May 2019, Father Heart TV live webcast, and my name is Mark Jide, and tonight I'm going to be talking about perfect love. One of the things we often talk about on the webcast is the way we need to remove filters in the way we see things, you know. And one of the big filters we have is we see God the Father, the perfect Father, but we see him through the filter of our own parents. And so when we do that, we actually limit, well, we bring the Father down to the level of our own imperfect parents. And, you know, however good our own parents have been, we still look at God the Father through that filter. And, you know, really, there's not very much difference between, you know, when you're comparing, you know, any parent with the perfect Father, there's actually not very much difference between a rubbish parent and a good parent by human standards. But, you know, when we put that filter in front of our eyes, we see God the Father through the filter, through the lens of our own parents. And so we distort his nature and his personality and his character, and we diminish him. And what I want to do tonight is just look at another filter, which I believe is probably one that we don't talk about very often, but it's probably a little bit more subtle, but it's the filter of how we define love. Because, you know, if we have a filter in front of our eyes, if you like, that is our definition of love, then without thinking about it, what we will do is we will bring the perfect love of the Father down to our own level of understanding, or our own, you know, our own imperfect understanding of what love is. And we measure love by our standard rather than, you know, the perfect love that the Father wants to pour into our hearts. And, you know, I think we do it kind of a little bit subconsciously, because when we talk about love, we often think about it in the context or the framework of our own love for other people, or our you know, our understanding of what love is, how we've received love from perhaps other people. And so we measure love by our own standard. And what I want to do this evening is just to sort of look at that and help us to remove this filter, so that instead of measuring love by our own standard, we can begin to see that the Father's love for us is so extravagant and beyond any measurement. You see, for example, if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Now, when we look at that, or when we understand that with this filter in front of our eyes, what we do one of two things, or maybe we do both of these things, but we say to ourselves that if I have to become, you know, and note those words, if I have to become more loving, then I need to become more patient. You know, if I am to become more loving, then I need to become kinder. You know, I need to stop envying, I need to stop boasting, you know. And what we're doing is we're saying, you know, what we're doing is we're defining love by our own standard. You know, for me to become more loving, what I've got to do is A, B, C, D, and E. And if I can do all of those things, then I will become a more loving person. You see, what we're doing is we're seeing love through the filter of our own experience and through the filter of our own understanding. So we look at it like that. You know, if I am to become more loving, then I've got to do this, this and this. And we all know how difficult that is. You know, I can be patient for a time, I can be kind for a time, but to actually work at being patient all of the time is very, very exhausting, you know, because it's something that I'm trying to do out of my own self-effort or my own perseverance. And, you know, if I do these things, then I will become a more loving person. The other way we can look at it is we can turn it around the other way and say, well, if I am to be patient, or if I am to be kind, then I have to make myself love more. And, you know, again, we've put the onus on us, and we're looking at it through a filter of our own experience and our own understanding. And we read passages like 1 Corinthians 13, and we actually do it with many, many other passages in Scripture, but that's kind of a good one to take because it's so compact when we're talking about love. But what we do when we read something like 1 Corinthians 13 is we believe that the love that is being described in that passage is first and foremost the love that I generate, the love that is in my heart. We think that these passages, these verses, are talking about our love. And, you know, how can I be more loving? How can I be a more loving person? What have I got to do to love my brothers and sisters, to love my family in a greater way than I am doing at the moment? What have I got to take upon myself to develop this attribute of love? And what we end up doing is it's very, very subconscious, I believe, but we end up believing, and, you know, I believe it does become a mindset for us. We believe that the source of love is us. And so when we read 1 Corinthians 13, for example, we read it, and although we read the words on the page, what we understand in our heart is, you know, when it says, for example, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And the way we read that, because of this filter, is what we understand in our heart is, because my love is not good enough, I'm just a clanging gong, I'm a noisy cymbal. You know, the next bit is, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but don't have love, I'm nothing. And, you know, we think it's like, well, if I haven't got enough love inside of me, if my love isn't good enough, then all of these gifts that Paul is talking about there, they are of no value. You know, whatever I do is useless because my love is weak. See, that's the subconscious interpretation we put on verses like that, because we're looking at it through a filter that is telling us that the source of love is us. And the love that Paul is describing here in this passage is our love, the love that we generate, the love that we work up. It's a sort of self-generated love, but it's actually a filter that we're looking through that is giving us completely the wrong impression and the wrong understanding of love, because love does not originate in us. You know, we are not the source of love. You know, God is the source of love. God our Father is the source of love. You know, in 1 John 4:16 it says, God is love. You know, and we can only ever love because He first loved us. And, you know, one of the amazing things I've seen, I believe, is, you know, I look at, you know, you look at people in the world around you, you know, people who aren't Christians, and you see that they too have the same capacity as you and I have to love other people. Obviously, it's limited, it's imperfect, but, you know, everybody in the world has got the capacity to love. And that capacity to love is not something they've generated themselves. It's something that's put there because every human being is made in the image of God the Father, and every human being is loved by the Father. And so, you know, even if there are people who are not Christians, they have the capacity and ability to love because they themselves are loved first by the Father. And so the important thing I want us to see today is that the source of love is not us, but the source of love is the perfect Father. And that is such a sort of wonderful revelation, because if the source of love is me, it's dependent on what I think, it's dependent on what I believe, it's dependent on how I'm feeling, it's dependent on how my day is going, it's dependent on how hard I work at being more patient or more kind or more generous, and it's all down to me. But once we remove this filter, and we actually see that the source of love is not us, but it's God the Father, and that He is loving us with a perfect love, that we are recipients of perfect love that knows no bounds, that knows no limits, and is not dependent on how we're feeling, it's not dependent on how we're behaving, it's not dependent on how much money is in the bank, it's not dependent on anything we have to crank up. It's dependent solely on the eternal, unchanging character and nature of our Heavenly Father. And, you know, when we see it like that, what we actually begin to see is there is a vast ocean of love that the Father wants to pour into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing is, because it's not dependent on us, we can receive that love however we are feeling. We can receive that love however we're behaving. We can receive that love because it's totally dependent on Him. See, and, you know, what I hope we can do this evening is to remove that filter that defines love by what we see in our own heart. Because love is not defined by us, because the source of love is Him. And He wants to pour that incomparable, perfect love into our hearts. You see, any ability that I have to love other people purely comes from the eternal, unchangeable fact that He first loved me. And it's His love being poured into my heart that will make me kind. You see, I can't make myself kind. It's His love being poured into my heart that makes me kind. It's His love being poured into my heart that makes me patient. It's His love being poured into my heart that will stop me being boastful or envious or proud. It's His love being poured into my heart that prevents me from keeping a record of wrongs. It's not how much love, how can I make my love better so that I can become more patient? You know, I will become more patient out of the overflow of His love being poured into my heart. I will become more more kind by out of the overflow of his love being poured into my heart. You see, it's not what do I have to do to make myself more loving, because if it's that, it's jolly hard work. But once I realize that, you know, the way I love other people is simply the outworking of his love in my heart. It turns me round so that my focus is on him. So instead of me trying to become more loving and me trying to become all of these things, what I'm doing is focusing on the source of love, and I'm allowing my heart to be open to love, and I'm receiving and drinking the perfect love of the Father, because it's that perfect love of the Father that comes from the source of perfect love that will be the only thing that transforms me. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and this morning I got Barry's newsletter, his daily reading, and I was very interested to see that he was writing about the same passage that I wanted just to sort of touch on now. And there's a couple of verses in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 which really kind of describe for me and really help me to see the outworking of, you know, our lives when we remove this filter, you see, and when we actually recognize that the source of love is not ourselves, it's not in us, but the source of love is our perfect Heavenly Father. In John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus says this. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." Well, you know, I guess most of us would settle for doing the works Jesus did, you know, rather than beginning to worry about the greater works. But, you know, Jesus says, because I'm going to the Father, you will be enabled and empowered to do the things that I've been doing, and in fact, even greater things. And then Jesus says in verse 13, he says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." See, Jesus is talking to his disciples on their last night together, and he's just explaining to them what's going on, and or trying to explain to them what's going on. And he said, "Look, guys, you know, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. You can ask me anything. You know, I'm going back to my Father, but you will still be able to ask me anything." And so Jesus is just encouraging his disciples that, look, you know, things are about to change in a big way. You know, I'm going back to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, but don't worry, you can ask me anything and I'll do it. It's like Jesus is saying, "It's okay, guys, I'm still going to be there for you. You know, when you need me, I'll be there." And yeah, I think that must have been very, very comforting for the disciples, because that evening together was quite a challenging evening. You know, these guys are fishermen, and suddenly Jesus is talking about going away and a big house in the sky with many rooms, and you know the way where I'm going, and you know where I'm going, and you know, I think they're just totally confused by what he's saying. And then he says those words to them, and I think they must have been very comforting and reassuring. But in chapter 16, you know, perhaps just, you know, maybe half an hour later, Jesus says something completely different to his disciples, to the same group of people. In chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus says, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything." You know, can you imagine what the disciples felt like at that point in time? You know, Jesus has just said, "You can ask me anything and I'll do it." And now he's saying, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything." Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. See, what's the implication of what Jesus is saying? See, the implication of what Jesus is saying here, and he makes it very clear in a couple of verses' time, which we'll get to in a minute, but what he's saying is, you don't have to ask me, but you can ask the Father directly. You know, verse 23, very truly, my Father will give you whatever you ask. You're not going to ask me. You can go to the Father and you can ask the Father and he will give it you. See, in one sense, that might have been very confusing to the disciples because it seems to be saying completely the opposite to what Jesus has just said a few moments earlier. But he goes on to actually clarify it, and it's a clarification that brings revelation to our hearts, because, and it's something I believe we can really see clearly when this filter of how we define love is removed. You see, we cannot understand the full impact of what Jesus is about to say if we define love as being sourced in us, or if we understand and interpret love out of our own experience. You see, if we can allow that filter to be removed and really see the perfect, incomparable love of the Father, then what Jesus is about to say is a massive revelation that will change everything for us. Because Jesus goes on to say in verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name, but I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, Jesus says, the Father himself loves you. I think that's got to be one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. You know, the Father himself loves you. Now, if we are loved, as Jeremiah tells us, that we're loved with an eternal, everlasting love, we can actually put that verse into the present continuous tense. And instead of reading it as the Father himself loves you, we can read it, and it's clearer this way, the Father himself is loving you right now. You see, and what Jesus is saying in these two verses, the one in John 14 and the one we've looked at in John 16, is you can go directly to the Father yourself because he loves you. You know, he is loving you with a perfect love. He is loving you with an immeasurable love. He is loving you with an incomparable love. He is loving you with an eternal love. He is loving you in a way that you've never experienced before. You see, because this love that we're talking about is not a love that originates in our own hearts. It's not a love that is determined by our experience or our understanding, but it comes from the very heart of the perfect Father who is love. He is the perfect expression of what love is. And what Jesus is saying here, and what this revelation is all about, is that you and I are loved with a perfect love that originates in the heart of the perfect Father. This is not a love that originates in our hearts. It's a love that has always been in his heart. It was there since before the beginning of the world. It's an eternal, everlasting love, and he is loving us right now. And when we take this filter away and we don't define his love by our own experience or our own understanding of love, suddenly our heart is wider open to receive this amazing expression of love. See, Jesus says in John chapter 14 that we are in him, you know, and he is in us. And he says at the end of John 17 that we are loved in exactly the same way as his love. You see, the love that the Father is pouring into our hearts is the same love, the same intensity of love that he pours into Jesus' heart. You know, and you know, when Jeremiah writes, "I have loved you with an everlasting love," again, we could read that, you know, "I am loving you with an everlasting love." You know, when we read in John chapter 16, the Father himself loves you. You know, it's the Father himself is loving you right now. You see, love, when we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's not talking about my love. It's not talking about my love being patient, because how can it ever be patient? It's not talking about my love being kind, because how can I ever do that? It's 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about the Father's love. The Father's love is eternally patient. It is eternally kind. The Father's love eternally bears no record of wrongs. The Father's love is eternally not boastful and not envious. And it is that eternal love that is being poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's that eternal love that will transform me so that I become kind and generous and patient. It's not my love that makes these things happen. It's his love being poured into my heart that transforms me. See, if we see love through the filter of our own understanding, we will always think it's about our love, which is imperfect, incomplete, and totally dependent on our circumstances. But whenever we read any of these passages in the scriptures about love, it's first and foremost talking about his love for us. It's talking about the perfect love that comes from the very heart of the Father. And it's that love that is poured, the substance, the reality of that love, is poured into our hearts. And that's the only thing that will change us. And it's that love that Jesus says the Father himself is loving you right now. And it's that love that he has for you and me that enables us to go into his presence and stand before him in exactly the same way as Jesus can stand before him. You see, all of the barriers are removed because love originates in the heart of the perfect Father. And it's a love that knows no limitations and it knows no bounds. And it is completely and utterly generous and transforming in every way. And so I want to encourage you that whenever you read any of these passages on love, that instead of thinking it's about your love, how can I become a more loving person? How can I become a more kind person? How can I become a more whatever? It's not about that. It's not about you becoming anything. It's about you turning your gaze and looking at the source of perfect love and allowing that perfect love, allowing yourself to be loved in the moment. It's allowing yourself to be loved right now with a perfect, unchanging love. The other day I read Psalm 139. I mean, you know, it's a very well-known psalm, but I just read it and I felt Father speak to me through it, just the first few verses. So I'd just like to read those verses. And I just want you to open your heart as I do, because I really believe that, you know, well, I know that right now the Father is loving us. But I want to encourage you, just as I read these verses, to open your heart and to allow the Father to love you in this moment. So I'm just going to read the first six verses of Psalm 139. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. See, and as I read that the other day, I thought, yeah, you know, that's true. His knowledge of me is incomprehensible. You know, I can't really begin to understand his understanding of me. You know, his the knowledge, the intimate knowledge he has of me is too wonderful. You know, I can't attain it. But I found myself just talking to Father as I'd read that, and I was just sitting, and I just found myself saying, Father, the way you know me is too wonderful, but I want to understand a little bit more how you know me. Does that make sense? You know, I was trying to say, Father, I want to understand more your knowledge of me. Because what I was just feeling in my heart was, you know, if I could just understand a little bit more of his knowledge of me, if that makes sense, it would enable me to receive more of the fullness of the love that he's pouring into my heart. You see, his knowledge of me goes way beyond my knowledge of myself. You know, he knows my past and he knows my future, but he's with me in the present. He's with me in the moment. And I just found myself saying, you know, oh, Father, just increase my revelation of your knowledge of me. You know, I want to understand your knowledge of me in a greater way. And I was just mulling over this and thinking about this, and you know that we are actually known by him. But I realized as I we are known by him, but there's a big difference between knowing that we're known by him and allowing ourselves to be known by him. And sometimes I think allowing ourselves to be known by him is taking a step of faith, and it's stepping into the unknown and opening up something of our heart to him. But you see, when you open up the intimate place of your heart, you allow yourself to be loved in a deeper way. And what I want to encourage you to do is to allow yourself to be known by him. See, he knows all about you. Of course he does. But if we can allow ourselves to be known by him, we're opening up a deep place in our heart where we can be loved in a deeper way. And, you know, the love that he pours into our hearts is a perfect, immeasurable love. And he is loving us right now. The Father himself is loving you. And I just really just want us to take a few moments now just to receive in the moment, in the present, that love that he has for us. You know, that we can go directly to the Father because of this new relationship we have with him. And we're just going to put the music back on, and I just want you to open your heart and receive the amazing love that the Father is lavishing on you right now in this moment. And so, Father, I thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, that you're loving us right now with an everlasting love. Father, I thank you that you yourself, the Father of glory, loves us. The Father himself loves us. The Father himself is loving us in this moment. And so, Father, would you pour the substance of your love into our hearts right now. The substance of love that you poured into Jesus' heart every moment of every day. Father, would you pour that substance into our hearts? Father, may we know that we are loved with a perfect love, an incomparable love, an immeasurable love. And Father, would you remove this filter that seeks to define love out of our own experience, out of our own understanding. Father, that somehow love is sourced inside of us. Father, would you remove that filter that we can see that love is sourced in your heart. And so, Father, I just ask that you would pour your love into our hearts. For everybody who's in the webcast this evening, live with us, Father, just pour your love into their heart now. Father, pour the substance and the reality of your extravagant love. Father, for those who watch or listen to this webcast later, I just pray supernaturally, divinely, you would pour your love into their hearts too. That right now, in this moment, we would have an encounter with the love of the Father. Thank you that you're loving us. You're loving us right now. Thank you that you're loving us right now.